He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we would desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offering and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his land. After the suffering of his soul, he will see light of life, and be satisfied. By his knowledge, by his righteous servant, will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Seven 700 years before the life of Christ, God opened the eyes of the prophet Isaiah to reveal to him a future that was coming, to a Christ that was going to come, to a Christ that was going to shed his blood, give up his life for our iniquities, for our sins, for our transgressions. So you think about this saving work of Christ. The saving work of Christ really is a work of substitution. Jesus himself tells us that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Isaiah reminds us that he took our place in judgment so that we could be justified before a holy God. The work of Christ is a work of righteousness. It's one who is taking the place of the unrighteous. And so we have to understand, or we have to be reminded, that Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a pure and holy life. He was a man without sin. And yet he was prepared to step into our unrighteous shoes. And he did for us what we could not do for ourselves. The work of Christ is the work of a loving shepherd who goes and finds the lost sheep, and he takes his place of those lost sheep. Jesus tells us that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and he did that. The work of Christ is a work of the exalted king taking the place of his rebel servants. The Apostle Paul tells us that while you and I were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's a work of freedom. Whether you know it or not, each one of us has been trapped in sin. We've been trapped in Satan's dominion. We've been trapped in Satan's territory. It's sin, it's shame. And Christ came to set us free from all of that.
Amen.
Never again, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, never again will you have to live under Satan's rule.
Amen.
You are free. And we will celebrate that today. So I see coming to the communion table is really an act of obedience, because Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. And we gladly do that. I see it as a time of remembrance, just to pause and to think about what he really did for us. I think it's an act of worship. We worship the one who gave it all for us. Then let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We've probably read this many, 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 many times. First Corinthians 11, starting at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We proclaim. Symbolic of the bread of the day, right? The scriptures tell us that Jesus took it and he broke it. And after he'd given thanks, he said, here, take it. Take some and eat of it. Because this is my body that was broken for you. Broken. Every Easter, I try to make a point of watching the Passion of the Christ, because I need to remind myself what Jesus did for me. Probably one of the best descriptions we can have of a broken and bruised and torn body outside of seeing the real thing. He did that for you. The beatings, the torn flesh, the crown of thorns, the mocking, the spitting, the beatings. Even before he gets to the cross, he did it for you. That night he also took the cup. It's not the cup. It represents the cup. He took the cup after he'd given thanks. So this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This cup represents shed blood for the remission of our sins. Again, we are free. Can we live that way? We are free because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He shed a way for you and me to enter into this amazing, intimate relationship with the Father. And if you've not walked with the Father, then you need to come and talk to one of us after the service so we can help you understand what it means to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because this body would testify that living in a relationship with Jesus Christ is wonderful. Would we? Would we? Would we? Would we? Amen. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What I'd like us, before we move to the communion table, is just focus in a little bit on what this proclamation of Christ's death might mean for us. As we partake of the bread, as we take the cup, as we drink the juice, we're proclaiming, we're raising our voices together as the body of River Valley Community Church, and we're saying salvation comes through Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, we read, "Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you." And we will proclaim salvation today. And again, if you need to find your way to Christ, you talk to someone today before you leave here. We would rejoice in welcoming you into the family. The proclamation is also one of destiny. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." You and I have no idea what's coming this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, next month, when we go to heaven. We have no idea. All we know is that God loves us. And what he has to offer is way more than what the world can offer. And we will proclaim our destinies today through the bread and the cup. It's proclaiming deliverance. Galatians says, "It is for the freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." We proclaim through the bread and the cup that we have been delivered. It's proclaiming freedom. I love James 4:7 where it says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." He has no place of standing. He has no place of authority once we're in Christ. On the cross, Jesus destroyed the work of the devil. Church, let's live that way. We are more than conquerors, as Paul would say in Romans. Finally, it's a proclamation of healing. I want you to hear this again, please. Isaiah 53:5. "By his wounds, we are healed." We're healed. Healing is available to us because of the cross. Jesus said on the cross, "It's finished. It's done. It's all been paid. It's all been taken care of for you. For you and for me." So I think today, as we move to the table. Our servers can get ready to come. As we move to the table, really there's looking back to see what Christ did. It's the act of remembrance, right? It's also looking to today and recognizing, what do we need in our lives? What freedom do we need today? And it's also proclaiming our future, our destiny, and it's all taken care of on the finished work of the cross. So let's come to the table. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For when you eat this bread and you drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What do you need to proclaim this morning? Is it salvation? Have you come to a point where you've accepted Christ as your Savior? Or do you, during this time, need to proclaim, "I accept what Jesus has done for me. I ask him to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness and invite me into the family of God." Do you need to confirm your destiny in Christ? Are you discouraged? Are you feeling a little beat up this morning? And proclaim your destiny. Claim it today as we take the bread and the cup. Do you feel trapped? Then proclaim your freedom today, because we are more than conquerors. Is it healing that you need? Emotional, spiritual, physical healing? Then proclaim it today. When you take the bread and you drink the cup, as you remember Christ's death, proclaim healing and see what God might do.